This is the Meet Me for Coffee podcast. Today with UK band Stone Angels. I got a member of that specific group here. His name is James. How's it going?
I'm good, thanks. How's it going for you?
Great. I'm up in smoke, my friend. I listened to your newest record. Of course, it took some tinkering because I realized that that album is not on streaming platforms. Let's talk about the... By the way, it's fantastic. I just want to say that. Oh. If anybody who's looking to find a new band over here in Canada and North America, around the world, Stone Angels is a band that you should be looking for. Of course, the album is called Up in Smoke. There's a song called Up in Smoke on the album. And let's talk about why you haven't put this on the full album on the streaming platforms.
Sure. So this kind of goes back to my day job a little bit. So I do my own public relations company called White Lightning, and my focus is on Spotify helping artists on the platform. Now, since, you know, streaming platforms have come around, even since before Spotify, so the days of Napster, LimeWire, it's completely changed how people digest their music. And so it can be quite hard for an artist to really get value out of putting a record together if they just upload it on one go and streaming platforms. Because if we look at Spotify, for example, they're now reporting about 120,000 songs being uploaded every day to its software, to its platform, sorry. And so, you know, in the space of 1 month, over 3 million songs have been uploaded. So, you know, it's, as an artist, it can be, you know, it can be a real labor of love to put together a record. And then you want to make sure that you're giving it as best start in life as possible. So this way, we decided to take a new approach. Being an unsigned band, we had the flexibility to do this. So we're drip feeding each single on Spotify about 2 months apart as standalone singles. But the actual record itself, if you want to get your hands on it as a physical album, is available on CD and vinyls from our website. So this way, we're not cutting the nose off to spite the face by uploading everything in one go. We're actually allowing ourselves the flexibility to actually really grow on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon by drip feeding it, because this way we're able to build up our engagement and hopefully, you know, this gives us about a year's worth of new content to upload to Spotify. And we're already seeing we just released the third single off the record, or fourth even. And yeah, we're seeing the dividends come back now on Spotify itself, that we're getting a higher rate of engagement, more followers. Playlists like Release Radar are going crazy for us now, which is great. So it's basically helping us build up a momentum. Whereas if we just put it all in one go, you know, the momentum would have been gone in about a month or so.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting because when I ideally read about what you guys were doing and hearing you speak about it, I fully agree. I think that not every single should be up on Spotify. It should just be like a couple, and then make people go search for your music and buy it. And that way they get that intimate experience. There's a resurgence of vinyl records happening right now. And Of course I'm part of it too. Like I'm all in. And the good thing about it is, you know, despite all the hard times happening in the world, all the crazy negativity, with vinyl, it's an intimate reaction and immersive experience. When we talk about me picking up your record, sitting down and listening to it. Why do people want the vinyl feel back? Like what, how do you feel about it?
So I've always loved having physical. So, you know, I love album artwork, being able to actually, you know, study it close, read the liner notes. You know, I know not everyone likes to do that, but I like to have something physical because it gives it, for me personally, it gives a bit more value to the music. And with streaming platforms, you know, they're fantastic for discovering a lot of new artists, but you can, I found personally that I almost have a shorter attention span to the music that I'm listening to on Spotify. I'm a lot more likely to kind of skip the track. Whereas if you put a record on, I know I'm kind of, I'm in for the long haul. I'm going to be listening to not just one track. I'm going to be listening to it from start to finish. And, you know, I always enjoy a good concept album where it kind of leads you through everything. So you can see, you know, a good concept album is almost like a great book. Each track is its own chapter, but they all tie together. And so that's something that can be lost when you just look at individual songs on Spotify.
Do you think people can go back to that feel of buying that new record and just checking it out on their own?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, as you say, vinyl in particular has had a massive resurgence, and now bands are even producing, you know, tapes that you can buy, cassettes and stuff like that. But I personally, you know, I love it, like going to gigs, buying the vinyl, getting the band to sign the vinyl. It's just, I'm a bit of a, what I kind of call a bit of a merch whore. Whenever I go to a gig, I like to buy as many things as I can from it. So, and, you know, getting the vinyls is one of the big ones for me as well. I have my dad to blame for my obsession with vinyls, because he has close to 10,000 vinyls. So I grew up in a house full of music. You know, some of the vinyls were questionable in quality of the artist, but there's some great ones in there as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlooked bands that, you know, with 10,000, you know, records sitting in your collection, you could probably find someone that you haven't really paid attention to and actually listen to them. And of course, it gives you that warm feel, like the way it's mixed and the way it's pressed. It's like, it's a nice, warm, passive feel. It's relaxing.
It's that little crackle that you, when you put the needle down onto the vinyl, it's almost like being in at home when there's like rain or a thunderstorm going on. It's quite comforting. But there is, you say, something very warm, very organic about putting on a vinyl.
That's a very good analogy, actually. I never thought about it that way. So, I mean, like, yeah, that works for me. Like, I think that's a good way for me to explain it to other people. There's a rising group of people, kids specifically, that are getting ready to, you know, either immerse themselves in rock and roll or already into it. Like, you know, they like the, of course, I grew up and I was into Van Halen all the time, and I still am. I'm a freak about that band. But yeah. What would you say about telling people why they should listen to rock and roll as opposed to other genres?
Well, that's a tough one, because I personally like to believe that you shouldn't really kind of gatekeep any kind of genre. Like, I always try and look at it that a good song is a good song regardless of genre. But, you know, I have much more of a soft spot for rock. There's something so primal about just the loud ring of a feedback of an electric guitar with, you know, thundering drums behind it. AC/DC are hands down my favorite band of all time. Angus Young is the reason that I aspire to be as much of a live wire on stage. And, you know, you just have to listen to some of their iconic riffs, like Back in Black, the power behind it. It's not overly complex, but it just hits you in the gut in a good way.
Absolutely.
And you know, I personally haven't quite gotten that so much from other genres as much. Don't get me wrong, there's some, you know, like I've really started to appreciate country music, for example, over the last few years, and that's actually becoming a bit more popular in the UK now as well. But yeah, rock is still hands down the best genre for me, but you don't want to ignore all the other fantastic music that's out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's reword this. Okay, so three albums to get somebody into rock and roll right now that you recommend.
So Back in Black, I know AC/DC purists probably say either Power Age or Highway to Hell, but Back in Black was the album that got me into AC/DC. So for that reason, I would have to say Back in Black. I'd probably go then 10 by Pearl Jam. That's another side. That's the Pearl Jam, like Eddie as well, has such a wonderfully emotional kind of tone to his voice, the lyrically speaking. You know, it shows you kind of a great difference between, say, Back in Black to 10. You can have such great different feels of music, but fantastic songwriting. The third choice, now that's always a tough one. Now I probably, this is a bit of a left field one, but I absolutely love this album. It would be Electric Six's debut album, Fire. So that's the album that's got Danger, High Voltage and Gay Bar on it. It's easy to dismiss this band as a bit of a comedy band, but the songwriting again is just so fantastic on that record. And you know, they have a synth player in the band, so it brings a bit more of electronic elements to it as well. But you know, I recommend that you reacquaint yourself with the record after this, if you haven't listened to it for a while, and hopefully you'll see what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah, I was speaking about this with Tom Kilner as well. I think the Rolling Stones for me is someone or a band that I actually kind of overlooked. I listened to a few singles and never actually tangibly like went and bought their records and stuff. And after that podcast with them, I actually went and bought, you know, all of their records. So I'm waiting for them to come. It's been quite some time. Of course, it's like, I think it's over 30 records that I bought.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to have a good time. There's another band called, is it a Jay Gale's band? Is that what they're called? Jay Gale's?
Oh, yeah.
Those guys are good. Those guys are awesome. And I, of course, I would put, you know, 1984 by Van Halen in there. Of course, there's always that comparison with Sammy Hagar. I do think Sammy Hagar is a better singer, though. Like, that's, no one can compete. Yeah,
definitely. You know, there's merits to both of them. Again, like say with AC/DC, there's people that will always be in Bond's camp. There'll be people in Brian's camp, and you get the crazy mad person who's in Dave Evans' camp. But you know, it's you know, again, you can't really fault a band if they have to change a member or something like that if they want to keep making the music, because you know, again, I love some of the Sammy Hagar stuff, like Can't Stop Loving You is one of my favorite Van Halen tracks, I'd say, and that's if I'm not mistaken, that's a Hagar one. And yeah, speaking of Van Halen as well, my last guitar I bought was EVH. So yeah,
interesting.
So it's a pretty nice guitar.
Is that that's modeled after like the Kramer? Is it a Kramer version, right? Like that would be the Kramer in his collection, or Charvel.
Yeah. So this is based off the, I guess, the Kramer, like his iconic pinstripe one, but it's the Bearwood. I just like the look of it. It kind of gives me a bit of a Nuno Bettencourt feel to it.
Yeah, yeah. And Nuno is absolutely fantastic as well. Like, very underrated guy, and he does so many great things. And of course, he's guitar player for Rihanna and all of that stuff. And it's like, you know, this man is like absolutely fantastic. It would be a cool person to talk to besides Dave Grohl. I think Dave Grohl would be a good time as well. But yeah, like there's so many influences in rock and roll, and it's everlasting. And there are those pillars, like, you know, Dave Grohl or, you know, Lemmy from Motorhead, of course, past, but, we have those icons, right? Who are some of the bands that you can see around in 20 years, that have started around now, or who are tomorrow's icons?
And yeah, That's an interesting question. Like, there's some great bands. Like, you know, I'm a huge fan of Blackstone Cherry. I think they're all well on their way to start headlining, say, Download Festival in the UK in the next 5 years, less than that. Whether or not, I'm sure there's, well, I guess they're already quite well established now, so it's kind of probably the wrong example, but Clutch, I absolutely love Clutch as well. Monster Truck from Canada, they're doing pretty cool things as well, yeah. I think. But coming back to the UK, there's some bands that are just like tipped to explode in certain ways. Like one of my old friends' bands from uni, a band called Tiger Cub, they're just about to fly over to America for another, I've lost track of how many tours they're doing in America now, but yeah, they're signed to Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam's indie label Loose Groove Records, and so whenever I meet up with Jamie, I just tell him how much of a jealous SOB I am, because I absolutely love Pearl Jam, and now he's hanging out with them.
That's cool. You know what? It's kudos to anyone who's touring around the world, being a smaller band and paying their dues. I feel like Blackstone Cherry has more than paid their dues. Awesome records, and
yeah, definitely.
I think they're overlooked, right? It's just that that's how I feel. It should be a lot bigger in magnitude, right?
Yeah, so they're definitely, I feel like they're smaller, you know, stateside and in Canada than they are in the UK. The UK, we kind of latched onto them when they came out with their first record, and you know, they're headlining kind of arenas over in the UK, whereas I think they might be the main support for an arena band in Canada. Or so like, for instance, that new tour that's just been announced, the co-headlining one with Clutch and Rival Sons, Blackstone Cherry and Fu Manchu are like the two main supports. I'm so envious of some of the tours you guys get on your side of the pond. Like, I wish that tour would come over to the UK.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're envious, but at the same time, I don't know if you know how expensive it is to go to these shows, right? And
it's ridiculous now in the UK as well.
It's we have like Ticketmaster or whatever, and my one friend bought tickets to see the singer of Rammstein. He's a solo tour or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was $79 for two. It was two tickets. She paid whatever she paid, and there was $79 like processing fees for those tickets. I saw it. People can't afford to go to some of these concerts, but I don't, you know, I wanted to see Van Halen's little tribute this coming summer. It's actually on my birthday. Sammy Hagar, you have Steve Vai, Michael Anthony, and of course, it's a Jason Bonham on drums. I wanted to see that, right? And then learning that, you know, shows like that and Red Hot Chili Peppers, like $400 a ticket. I don't know who would be able to. It would be an awesome experience. You're in a very small arena. I think when I think about it, I think that bands now, bigger bands, have no choice but to go to those smaller arenas and to kind of upsell their tickets to cover their costs. And it gives us a better experience, but it also covers, it packs the place, and they're playing to a full house. And on top of it, yeah, of course, you pay your bills. You're able to kind of get away with having those smaller shows, right?
Yeah, and it's a shame. Like, going back onto this point, like, it's a shame. Like like AC/DC and Pearl Jam again. They're playing the UK this summer, and the standing ticket prices were about £150, which is probably close to $200, you know, give or take the exchange. And that's just these are stadium gigs. And so the first time I saw AC/DC was back in 2009, and tickets were £50. So again, so $75 or whatever. And it's incredible how much the prices have spiraled to the point where I couldn't afford to go for either of those tickets, just because it's just expensive to live.
Yeah, because their costs have gone through the roof. And of course, the music industry is trying to recover from
COVID and stuff like that. Yeah.
Pandemic and whatever, being shut down, really. And so, I mean, hopefully, I think they will pull out of it. It just need to take some time and see what happens.
I hope so, but I think the pessimist in me is that if you know, these gigs all sell out, people like Ticketmaster or the booking agents will be like, okay, well, we know people will be willing to pay these fees, so we're going to keep them. You know, that's my worries, because you know, greed is a powerful thing.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a business model that works, keep on doing it, pretty much, yeah. Right? And you have a monopoly over the system too, right? So, of course, this is a great opportunity to say, if you find a smaller show happening in your community, go support them, because, hey,
you never know who's going to be famous.
Exactly. You never know who you're going to see or become a fan of. And of course, you know, rock and roll, or whether it's rap or whatever other genre, country, like, it's an immersive experience. And that's probably the only time that you'll feel you're part of the show. I know, like, you go see a band like Red Hot Chili Peppers, they put on a fantastic show. Iron Maiden, they put on a fantastic show, but they're playing songs to you. Like, they're not playing songs with you in the room, like right in front of them, right? So unless you, like, you squeeze your way all the way to the front, which, you know, sometimes when you've had enough, you know, beers in you, it can really go through. But I always supported like local bands and bands, you know, touring and stuff like that, staying in vans overnight, driving those hours to go to the next show. Of course, Canada, you know, it's a very long trek to go from one side to the other. We have provinces that are completely flat. There's no hills. It's so boring. But there are bands that make it through, and I feel like your band will make it through one day. And I hope to see you here in Canada, man. This is pretty cool. You can check out Stone Angels. You can buy the record Up in Smoke, and of course other ones as well. Any other merchandise at stone-angels.com. By the way, Superchargers are a wicked track. Where Crows Fly is a wicked intro on that record. I'm looking forward to hearing that on vinyl when I get my hands on one of them. Pride Music Festival. We got to talk about that. So what is it and how did it come together?
Yeah, so the event's called Pride Rock, and it was basically, being based in Brighton, where we are now, Pride is one of the biggest kind of social events in the calendar, because this is known as the unofficial gay capital of the UK. And so it's always a fantastic experience that weekend, the parade, people coming down celebrating, you know, diversity, which is one of the great things about Brighton itself, is a very welcoming place. But one thing that has always struck me with Pride is, it, although it welcomes diversity, musically speaking, it's got a very narrow mindset to the music that's played. You know, it's, it leans more to kind of pop dance music, which isn't really my kind of cup of tea. And actually, the friend of mine who came up with the idea, called Richard, he, this was just before the pandemic actually struck, we were having a drink, and he's a member of the Pride Network, and he just went to me, you know what, I really don't like the music of Pride, I'd much rather listen to Rammstein, AC/DC and stuff like that, do you fancy putting on an event? Because he's like, you're the only person I know who works in the industry, so you're the only person I can speak to about this. And it kind of, you know, it dawned on me, it was a great idea. Then the pandemic struck, and then I kind of basically stewed on this idea for several years. And last year we managed to put together the first event, which was really good. So we had Hot Milk as the headliners, In Me as the main support, and Stone Angels as the opening band. And yeah, that went really well. We near sell out a gig. And we're coming back this year bigger and better, so we've upgraded to a larger venue, as well as we're having up to 8 bands on the bill. And yeah, it's, we were meant to have my friend's Tiger Cub headline, but due to a scheduling conflict with a US tour, they've had to pull out. But we're about to actually announce a new replacement headliner, which I'm really excited about, tomorrow. So I can't quite just reveal it yet, but we've got some other great bands already on the bill. So again, Stone Angels, we're on the bill again, because it helps me keep the wage bill down. But we also have other bands like Hawks, Queen Cult, Muddy Brook on the bill. These are all really cool UK-based rock, alternative metal bands, a bit of punk mess and stuff like that. So it's really cool, because it's Han, the singer of Hot Milk, actually really hit the nail on the head last year when they announced that they were playing the event. She talked about how, as an openly bi woman, she didn't feel like she was properly represented at Pride. She didn't feel queer enough for it, because, like, she didn't want to wear the bright colors or anything like that. You know, she just liked to wear black, all black. So she felt that this was a great event, because it meant that she could actually, you know, take part in Pride, but also, you know, play her music. And one of the great things is that we've experienced from this as well, is that the amount of, you know, positive reactions that we've had from the public, saying that they're so happy that this is happening, because again, they just hate the music at Pride. And now they finally have something to do this weekend.
That's awesome. You know, you got to cater to the other individuals that, you know, they like rock and roll. They like different things, right? Of course, everybody, it's an immersive experience. Everybody's invited and to enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's you know, it's everyone in Pride and all the allies alongside it, you know, come down to this event, and it's just a great party.
Yeah. Will there be Guinness there?
Sorry, Guinness.
Yes.
I'm sure the bar will stock Guinness.
Sounds good. Well, beer, you won me over. Coffee, you won me over, my friend. It's Meet Me for Coffee. We always ask this question. How do you take your coffee?
With a hot water, a tea bag, and some milk.
Fantastic. Well, we'll add that to the list. One day I'll make a coffee table book about all the rock stars and actors who've been on this show.
It'll be so cool. Unfortunately, I think you picked the one band that doesn't really drink coffee. We're all tea drinkers, as cliche English as it is.
Oh, that's good. I mean, what are some of your favorite English beers?
English beers. So Beaver Town Neck Oil, which is actually, I think Beaver Town's well famous now, but you may not notice, it's actually Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin. It's his son that set up the brewery. So that's got a nice rock and roll connection to it for me. You got one of my friends, he owns his own small brewery about half an hour down the road from me called Gold Marks Brewery. Really cool stuff, small batch stuff. He actually let us use his brewery to shoot the Where the Crows Fly music video. So, I've got to give Mark a shout out for that because,
awesome.
It's great beer.
Awesome. You know what? When I speak to someone from the UK, I spoke to Mark Daly from Ireland, a big artist from there. And we're talking about breweries and whatever. And his favorite brew is called Murphy's Stout. Have you heard of that one?
I have heard of it. I've not tried it. I was in Dublin and Galway last year. And, the Guinness out there is just the best in the world.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to tilting a pint with you one day, my friend.
Definitely.
Thank you for coming on the show. And I hope the best for Pride Festival. And of course, Stone Angels.
Excellent. It's been a pleasure to be on the show, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.